بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا أبدا سرمدا، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وبعظيم سلطانه وجزيل نعمائه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين من أزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته وأصحابه الصالحين الغر الميامين والتابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، يا رب اكتبنا منهم، آمين. The journey to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we undertake outwardly as well physically. And when you arrive at your destination after that journey, you arrive and you are standing at the door of the house of God. Have you ever thought of it? I journeyed and I arrived at the door of the house of my Lord. And as you stand there in awe, thrilled sometimes, numb for others, very sincere and profound feeling overwhelms you. And perhaps for some, in their minds and in your minds and in your hearts, the journey from its beginning till the point where you're standing replays. And you ask the question, Ya Allah, You have helped me make this journey and permitted me and allowed me to stand with my body at the door of your house. When will my heart complete its journey and stand at the door of your nearness? Shaykh Abdul Qadir rahimahullah ta'ala reminds us in a summary of the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, drawn directly from the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his very rich spiritual experience in the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La budda لكل مسلم في كل لحظة من لحظات حياته، كما قال رحمه الله تعالى، من أمر يأتمر به ونهي ينتهي عنه أو يجتنبه وقدر يرضى به. That the life of a Muslim is filled with the succession of one of the three. A command to be obeyed, a prohibition to be avoided, and a decree to be pleased with. In other words, please think about it. Isn't it the most wonderful, beautiful, simple summary of life? Of what I do every day until I sleep and I wake, until I die? Three things. A command from Allah to be obeyed. So I should make sure that every time there is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I should know the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through ilm, I obey. Every lahza of my life, every instant of my life is either a command to be obeyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is either a command of obligation or a command of recommendation. Lil wujub aw lil istihbab. And sometimes they add to that which is al-ibaha, permissibility, lawfulness. And another instant, a prohibition, I'm faced with an event in which there is a prohibition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thus to be avoided. Either ala al-tahrim or ala al-karaha. Is there a third thing? Yes. And a challenge, an ordeal, an affliction. A challenge, an ordeal, an affliction. Towards which I should show, he said, rahmatullah ta'ala, rida, acceptance, satisfaction, being pleased by that decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because nothing, again, befalls me of good or of adverse that is not by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I cannot show satisfaction and pleasure by this to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I'm faced with a challenge, an ordeal or an affliction, then I must show sabr. Then I must show sabr. Patience, endurance, perseverance. Knowing that innama al-usri yusra. Knowing that innama al-usri yusra. That with hardship there is ease. And Allah says, مَعَ الْعِسْرِ يُسْرَ, not بَعْدَ الْعِسْرِ يُسْرَ. SubhanAllah. With hardship there is ease. He didn't say after hardship there is ease. In other words, it is always there, we just don't see it sometimes. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعِسْرِ يُسْرَ. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعِسْرِ يُسْرَ. And if we looked at this, SubhanAllah, then this is another beautiful way that summarizes in the simple form the equation of life. I must always be aware and knowing that I shall be facing challenges, ordeals, and afflictions in myself, in my family, in my wealth, in my property, around me, physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, socially, collectively, all aspects of challenges and afflictions and ordeals, all aspects of bala, that is part of life. It is an integral portion of life. If a wave now strikes you, and then it passes, then soon after, another wave, maybe of a different kind. And if the waters are calm for a while, soon thereafter, there is a wind and a tempest and the waves come striking at your heart again. This is dunya. The one said, rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh Abdul Qadir, the one who expects that dunya should be lived in all safa, in all that which is prosperous and that which is delightful and that which is always calm, then this person doesn't know dunya and doesn't know his creator. And the dunya has never been meant to be a home of safa, continuous uninterrupted safa. الدُّنْيَا دَارُ كَدَرٍ وَآفَاتٍ وَشَدَائِدٍ وَابْتِلَاءٍ. Dunya was meant to be a home of challenges and ordeals and murkiness, and not a home of continuous peace. The home of continuous peace is not here, is in Jannah. And if it exists on this earth, it is only inside the hearts of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of those who are near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore our Jannah in this dunya is that we attain qulub in harmony with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in full captivation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat and asma and dhikr of his subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please remember this. This three simple pronged equation of life. Remember, every moment of your life is either one of these three. Sometimes we forget all of them. Sometimes we forget one of them. And which one do we most often forget, even as practicing Muslims? The third one. The third one. And sometimes when we remember the third one, what do we not really understand sometimes? The nature of affliction. The kind of affliction and ordeal. We do not sometimes realize that the bala is so varied and has a wide spectrum. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sabr and grant us rida for his qada subhanahu wa ta'ala. And and the one who has more rida for the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who would be most in Jannah in this dunya. Allah. The one who has most rida with the qada and qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will live in Jannah in this dunya with his or her qalb. And to this effect, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa radiya anhu, he teaches the following. Again, a very deep and beautiful expression, yet its reality, it's actually simple, may be difficult for many of us. And he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, إِذَا مُتَّ أَوْ مِتَّ عَنِ الْخَلْقِ قيل لك رحمك الله وأماتك عن هواك وإذا مت عن هواك قيل لك رحمك الله وأماتك عن إرادتك ومناك وإذا مت عن إرادتك قيل لك رحمك الله وَأَحْيَاكَ حَيَاةً لَا مَوْتَ بَعْدَهَا. إِذَا مِتَّ أَوْ مُتَّ عَنِ الْخَلْقِ قِيلَ لَكَ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ وَأَمَاتَكَ عَنْ هَوَاكَ. When you finally die, from the khalq, from the beings, from the created beings, from the human beings, let's say. إِذَا مُتَّ عَنِ الْخَلْقِ When you die from the khalq, it will be said to you, رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ Like when you present your condolences to someone. So you present the condolences to this person who died from the khalq. And who says, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ الْمَلَأُ الْأَعْلَى Most humans don't understand this and don't see that. The malaika, who are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will give their condolences to this abd by telling to this abd, Rahimakallah. And actually, this Rahimakallah is not in the sense of condolences that we have lost, but it contains the meaning of condolences, and it contains the meaning also of actually congratulating the abd. Rahimakallah. Now you are under the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've entered the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And rahmah implies also rest and comfort. So when you die from the khalq, away from the khalq, it will be said to you, Rahimakallah. And may you die from your hawa, the next death. You're not dead. You're not completely dead yet. And then, وَإِذَا مُتَّ عَنْ هَوَاكَ قِيلَ لَكَ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ وَأَمَاتَكَ عَنْ إِرَادَتِكَ وَمُنَاكَ And then, when you die from your hawa, it will be said to you, رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ May Allah give you rahmah, and may you die from your will and desire. Because dying from one's hawa is even more difficult than dying from the khalq. And we shall see what each one means. To die from the hawa, death of my hawa in me, the inclinations in me, other than the shara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My hawa, remember my intellectual propensities and my philosophical tendencies and my views and opinions, all of which not anchored and rooted and dependent on and subject to the ontology of the shara. Right? Hawa. When I'm freed from hawa, when I die from the hawa, and that death is freedom, isn't it? Then, the next stage, وَإِذَا مُتَّ عَنْ إِرَادَتِكَ وَمُنَاكَ And then, when you die from your irada, from the very will of your heart inside of you, then it will be said to you, رَحِمَكَ اللَّهِ And now, live forever. May Allah grant you a life after which there is no death. Does it make sense? The will. Once one dies from his or her irada, very irada, then one is free from all constraints. One is free from all constraints. One is living. The qalb will be living forever after that. In this dunya, in total peace. And then when the other death comes of the body, the qalb simply moves to a different place. Because it is always living. To understand more of this profound yet simple truth expressed in these beautiful and profound words of this of this abd salih, of this wali, of awliya illah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Elsewhere he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, ifna anil khalq bi'idhnillah. Ifna anil khalq bi'idhnillah. Wafna an hawak bi'amrillah. وعن إرادتك بفعل الله سبحان الله. إفنا, it's another allegorical expression for die also. مت إفنا, be extinguished. عن الخلق, from the human beings, from the created beings. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the إِذْن of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the إِذْن of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this mean? It means that my death away from the human being, from the created beings and things, is بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. In other words, I see and I understand and I interiorize all what they do to me or for me or against me is not by them but by the izn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't see their harm to me nor their benefit to me. I see them as instruments in the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't see them, I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing that to me. I don't give them independent power and authority, they have none. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. إِفْنَ عَنِ الْخَلْقِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. I don't see them giving me or keeping away from me when they give and when they keep away. I don't see them praising me or blaming me. If someone praises me or someone blames me, I see them instruments in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What they have done to me was بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They do not have an independent power and authority and will from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever the human beings, the created beings can do or cannot do to me and around me is بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Until as that develops in the abd through the system of tazkiyah and through that simple system that Sheikh Abdul Qadir also mentioned the moment that I mentioned that I shared with you a moment ago, of that three stage or three level system, until truly our qulub have rid themselves of that attachment. That's what we mean. And that's freedom from the khalq. And that's what it means. I am with the khalq, if I could be. And I am not with them. I am with them, we are with each other. But some of us, we pray that with their qulub are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it means. That's what it means. وَفْنَا عَنِ الْهَوَى أَوْ عَنْ هَوَاكَ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. And extinguish yourself or die from your hawa by the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this means that no longer my views, my opinions, my ideas, my planning, are deriving from my own independent ability to reason, but bi amrillah, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes precedence over my opinion, my view, my ideas. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once assume I begin a conversation, a legitimate conversation about the outcome of an issue, the significance of a matter, the value of something, good or evil, beneficial or harmful. Should I go this way or should I go that way? And then I learn that there is an amr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this matter. So I look at that amr in this matter. If it conforms to my views and my ideas and what I was reasoning, then what do I say? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi alhamani rushdi. Alhamdulillah alladhi alhamani rushdi. Then I would know that that was an ilham from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I find out that actually it is not conforming to my views, what do I do? Well, let me say first what some of us do. We try to twist the command to suit the hawa, the view and the opinion. In particular, when our qulub are clouded and veiled, the impact of the nafs is very powerful, such that the aql is subservient to the passion of the nafs and the hawa of the nafs. Whereas, if I am in the path of fana' from my hawa, then my response is ghufranaka rabbi, ghufranaka rabbi, ghufranaka rabbi, wa laka alhamd an 'allamtani. Seek forgiveness from you, O Lord, and alhamdulillah that you taught me. And then, if I reach that level, la ajidu harajan. That's, mashallah, the exalted state that Allah speaks about in the Quran. Then, la ajidu harajan mimma ja'ani min amri Allahi azza wa jalla wa rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I do not feel at all any haraj, any discomfort of whatever magnitude inside of my chest, inside of my mind, inside of my nafs, inside of my heart, with respect to this command that is in opposition to my view and my opinion and so on. Then I realize that that view and that opinion is not from the qalb, is not ilham, it is therefore from the nafs, the shaitan. And then I begin to learn in this process what hawa means. And then I begin to look back into how many times I have made decisions, personal and collective, family and communal, in all the spectrum of life, that were based on actually my hawa. Minor decisions and major decisions. And I remember the moment when I fought inside of me, I resisted inside of me the news of that command. Because I had a different propensity within me, different inclination, different tendency, different expectation. So the sana and asna alil hawa bi amrillahi azza wa jal is to receive the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without lima walakin, without why and without but. If I reach that level and inside of me there is no resistance, there is no haraj, there is no struggle, then I really have reached fana anil hawa. But if there is some resistance, at least I resist it, I resist the resistance to the command, and I comply to the command, that is khair, walhamdulillah. That is sabr. That is sabr, and sabr is rewardable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he's speaking about sana'. Sana'u anil hawa. Now, can I reach this stage as a beginner? No. That's an end. That's a nihaya. That's a nihaya. And to every nihaya there is bidaya. To every end there is a beginning. And thirdly, he said, وَعَنْ إِرَادَتِكَ بِفِعْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَفْنَ عَنْ إِرَادَتِكَ بِفِعْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And to be extinguished and to die from the very will inside of me. I don't have a will anymore. By the fi'l of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what does this mean? First, when we reach this, the abd reaches this stage of fana al-irada, what it means that the abd literally has no irada of his own or her own at all. Can you imagine such a human being like that? Who has no burst inside of him or her of any type that is his or hers? This is what it means, irada. A burst inside of you towards something or away from something. The burst, the irada, is the source of loving anything, or liking anything, or disliking anything, or feeling something, or hoping for something, is the very movement inside of you. Can you imagine as a physical person living without ever moving even an angstrom? You know what an angstrom is? Angstrom? Okay, alhamdulillah. That's 10 to the power how much? Minus 10 of a meter. Okay, let's say micron. You all know what micron is? Do you know what a micron is? Okay, alhamdulillah. That's 1 millimeter divided by 1,000. Can you imagine your physical body not even moving 1 micron ever? That's motion of the physical body. Imagine your qalb has no motion. Not physical motion. That is irada. Irada. The movement of a qalb is, it's irada. تفنى عن إرادتك بفعل الله. This fana of irada is to reach the stage and the level where it means this, that truly and effectively and literally and fully and wholly and all of it, my qalb has no irada except the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, there is no irada of your own anymore. Every, subhanahu, can you imagine? Every irada, every burst of will, and that means of liking something or disliking something, loving something or hating something, fearing something or not fearing something, hoping for something or not hoping for something. All of that, every such haraka of the qalb, that's an irada, is Allah's inside of you. Allah. Malaiki. Nafs. Now he said, Bifi'lillah. Bifi'lillah. In other words, when there is an irada from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there is an irada from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have none. How do I know the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do I know the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? First, as a Muslim, how do I know the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Through shara'. Much of the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exposed to us in the Quran and in the Sunnah, authentic Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what Allah wills and what He doesn't will, what He loves, what He doesn't love, what He commands, what He doesn't command, His will subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I receive that will, number one, that is through His commands and through His prohibitions, I receive those, as he said, rahmahullah ta'ala, sakin al-jawarih. Subhanallah, look at this. I receive the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sakin al-jawarih, mutma'inna al-janan, munsharih al-sadr. Ghaniyan anil ashya'i bi-khaliqiha. In the face of that irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I receive and that I know, this is how I should react. My jawarih, in response to that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are sakina. Still. In other words, not agitated, not challenging, not in a fighting stance, in a surrendering stance. Sakin al-jawari. Mutma'in al-janan. Al-janan is the qalb. Al-janan is a beautiful word in the Arabic language. Many meanings are in there. One of which is Jannah, so your garden inside. And also al-janan because Jannah, what does Jannah do? Why is it called Jannah? Jannah is a garden because it has many, many, many trees and so on, and it produces shade and it hides things inside. So your Jannah is your garden and that which is hidden and deep inside of you and which hides, of course, much and a lot. Your janan is in itma'inan. Mutma'in al janan. I receive it with a janan, with a qalb that is mutma'in, serene also. And to understand this, this is real. See, sometimes when you receive a command, or your father tells you, your mother tells you do something, even now, those people who are mothers and fathers, right? And then inside, sometimes you feel what? You dislike that. You feel agitated. You feel restless. You feel this didn't have to be. You feel challenged. Your heart starts beating. High blood pressure. مطمئن الجنان. You receive that مطمئن الجنان. Your janan is in itmi'nan, is in serenity. Subhanallah. This is real. So we're not speaking in the realm of the unreal. This is real. So, rahimahumullah ta'ala, people like this, look, subhanallah, they tell us about the very essence of what we do outside. They want us to discover it inside and to know the depth of its essence and its truth and reality, so that we begin to facing them like the sister Hafizah Allah in her reflection says, I'm afraid to look into myself. They want us to look into ourselves by these expressions, because they have looked into themselves and they have journeyed into themselves, they rahimahullah ta'ala, for long periods of spiritual time. With serenity I receive that. مطمئن الجنان says he rahimahullah ta'ala, منشرح الصدر. منشرح الصدر. اللهم اشرح صدورنا يا رب. منشرح الصدر. My chest elated, expanded. You have that? Have you had that feeling? Al-man, not yet. When you grow older and the challenges become to be very real, because when we're younger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is protecting us from those experiences. Wallahi, it's His rahmah. Some of the young sisters too, probably not yet. I don't know. But then you will know what it means to have a chest that is constrained and constricted, and the pain that comes with it. And then you know what it means to have a chest munsharih. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ اللهم اشرح صدورنا وضع عنا أوزارنا.
Amen.
Haven't we elated and expanded your chest and removed your wizr, the burdens, the weights that were in it? I receive the irada of Allah if I have fana, if I reach the fana of irada, and I must work on that so that I receive His command. This is how I realize His irada, through His command, the external command. Munshariha al-sadr. I receive it like, oh, a command from Allah. It sounds strange. Whoever looks at it this way, a command from Allah. Astaghfirullah. And then you feel the sadr muntayyq closes, the door locks, shut, 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 shut. When you hear the command of Allah, shut, 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 locks, lock, 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 lock. Versus a command from Rabbi, like that woman, Baytu Rabbi, house of my Lord. Her chest was so open that all of her was gone. Munshariha al-sadr. Look for that, my dear brothers and sisters. Search for that. Let us look for that. Search for that. These are indicators for us. Munshariha al-sadr. Ghaniyan عَنِ الْأَشْيَاءِ بِخَالِقِهَا. Oh. غَنِيًّا عَنِ الْأَشْيَاءِ بِخَالِقِهَا. سبحان الله. غَنِي, you know what غَنِي means, literally means self-sufficient, means rich, means independent. In the Arabic language, غَنِيٌ عَنِ شَيْءٍ, يعني independent from it, يعني not in need of it, free from it. فَغَنِيًّا عَنِ الْأَشْيَاءِ بِخَالِقِهَا. Liberated or free from created things, from things, by the presence of the Creator of things. غَنِيًّا عَنِ الْأَشْيَاءِ بِخَالِقِهَا. SubhanAllah. غنيا عن الأشياء بِخَالِقِهَا. Imagine that it is real. Ya Farhan, it is real. Ashya, all ashya, some of which are in our minds right now. Right now. The one who is like that wants to be free from all of that and be enriched by the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his or her thoughts, in his or her focus, in his or her concern, in his or her hamm. غَنِيًّا عَنِ الْأَشْيَاءِ بِخَالِقِهَا. That's how I should receive it. Second, بِفِعْلِ اللَّهِ تَفْنَى عَنْ إِرَادَتِكَ بِفِعْلِ اللَّهِ. In the case when there is no command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no prohibition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and something happens to me, befalls me, something happens to me, befalls me. تَفْنَى عَنْ إِرَادَتِكَ بِفِعْلِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Something happens to me, then usually I have an opinion about it. I have a feeling about it. I have an emotional response to it, of I like it or of I don't. I despise it or I accept it, enjoy it. I like the comfort of it and I detest the discomfort of it. Isn't it? These are my responses. الفناء في أن أفنى عن إرادتي بفعل الله سبحانه وتعالى, that I don't have any more those bursts. What befalls me has befallen me by the act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it has happened. If it has happened, it's an act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Outside of his commands and his prohibitions, what he commands me and he prohibits me, outside of that, it has happened. It is his fi'l. It is his act, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the universe. In this case, to me, on me. And I have no irada anymore. And since it is his act, that's all I submit to. I accept it. It's not anymore at the level of fana. It's not anymore, this is terrible and this is good. It's the fi'l of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's all what counts. I see through the fi'l of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is well established at the level of understanding the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see the acts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his acts in the universe of creating and so on and so forth, and they tell us about his sifat. That's how we know about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his attributes and his names, and then through his attributes and his names we, some may know of the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beyond description. So that means when I am subjected to the act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that state of fana to which the salihun aspire, I see the actor. And if I see the actor subhanahu wa ta'ala with my qalb, then the act, whether it is, as far as I'm concerned, upon me, I repeat, pleasing or displeasing, it doesn't have that quality anymore. I don't taste that anymore, because I'm conscious of the actor. It happens to us analogically in our human experience. You're drawn, so drawn, let's say, by something or someone, that you forget all of what's happening around. Isn't it true? You're absorbed by something, a thought about something or someone, that you've walked, maybe drove 10 miles, and you have no idea how you got there. And that's because the object of your thought overwhelmed your thought so that you couldn't see your own act. When the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happens to us, as I said, the second type of irada of Allah upon us is His qadwa and qadar for us of the things that happen to us daily and hourly and minute by minute and second by second of pleasing and not so pleasant things. Once they happen, that's the fi'l of Allah. I have no more irada anymore. I accept it. If it has happened, alhamdulillah. That is in the matters, I repeat, in which there is no amr from Allah pertaining to me and pertaining to the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as to what I must do and what I must not do. And what I should do and recommended to do and what I preferably should not do and recommended not to do. In that, it is the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I take through His shara, through His commands. Outside of that is fi'l subhanahu wa ta'ala. It happens, alhamdulillah. Khair. I'm driving in the streets. I prepared all what I could in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't harm anybody. I woke up on time to go to school or to go to work or to go to the masjid. Preferably I should have mentioned masjid first. That may say something about my subconscious. Then I'm driving, and then there is a red light. Ya Latif, it's time. Start looking at a watch. That's not a person who is راضي بقضاء الله. In that example, I can see myself. Right there, that's not a person راضي بقضاء الله. That's not a person who has submitted his or her irada to that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that example. Again, examples are too numerous to count. Every second. And this sana an al-irada, which again we're explaining in real terms, alhamdulillah, is, I hope, and mundane and understandable. We're not staying at the realm of the very profound as we come to actualize the significance of these profound meanings. And when that irada inside of me has become only that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no any more will of my own, then I become like a broken vessel. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, kal-ina'i al-munthalim, like a vessel, a container that has an infilam, that has a crack, a cracked vessel. Your heart, inshaAllah ta'ala, and I pray mine, will become like a cracked vessel. In which context? In this context. That it keeps no irada. You put everything in it, any ma'i' and any qadr, it will what? Seep out. In that qalb, that munkasir qalb, that munthalim qalb, will keep after that no more of iradat and desires and wills, no more. Allah clears it, that are nafsani. Until when such a process is finished and the qalb is fully cleansed from all of what's inside, then you know what happens to it? He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, then Allah will repair the qalb. Allah. And builds for you another qalb.
A new one. Allah.
A new one. That contains none of your irada anymore, none of your nafs anymore, but only His irada. And your qalb becomes truly qalb. And then there is a text, subhanAllah, that is related, the authenticity of which I too am not sure, Allah Ta'ala, I'm not sure of, but I think that the deep meaning of it is true. That's what we are here elaborating on, that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَنَا عِنْدَ الْمُنْكَسِرَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِأَجْلِهِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ أَنَا عِنْدَ الْمُنْدَرِسَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِأَجْلِهِ. And the Shaykh rahmahullah ta'ala does quote this text. I am with or at the broken hearts for me. The broken hearts for me. When you break your heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He's there. And then He repairs it. And this repair now is for good. Clear from the nafs, clear from the hawa, clear from the muna and the irada of the abd. And He fashions you khalqan akhar. And then He fashions you a different creature. هناك يصلح قلبك أن يكون وعاء لعلم الله. Then your heart becomes a vessel worthy of containing the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is when the abd, through this qalb, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that famous hadith Qudsi, then I become his eyesight with which he sees. See, the abd doesn't see anymore with his nafs. We see things, we understand things, we interpret things, and we like things, and we dislike things, and we fear things, and we hope things, and we hear things, and we interpret what we hear, all through the lens of our nafs. Always. What I see through the lens of my nafs. If I had a qalb, maybe I would be seeing something else. If I see my brother or my sister or my teacher or kaza or someone else with the lens of my nafs, is different when I see him or her by Allah. Because he said, then I become sirtu basarahu alladhi yubsiru bih wa sam'ahu alladhi yasma'u bih wa yadahu allati yabtishu biha ورجله التي يمشي بها فبي يسمع وبي يبصر وفي رواية قيل وبي يعقل. And the hadith, all of you know the hadith? Then it is at that instant, that's what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was describing, that Sheikh Abdul Qadir now elaborates on رحمه الله تعالى. It is the state of fana that he is expressing, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because that's it. When does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become your eyesight? You see with Allah. If you see with Allah, first of all, the very physical that comes to mind first, will you ever use your eyes to look at makruh, not haram? If you see by Allah, will Allah look at haram, astaghfirullah?
No.
Will you ever look at haram? Will you ever look at makruh? Will you ever look at something dubious, doubtful? Ever? Then as long as I continue to look at those with my eyes, that means Allah is not in me. That's all it means. That's what the equation implies. As long as I continue to use my eye in anything, not only haram, makruh, not only that, shubha. That's the obvious, most obvious test. Then, of course, my heart is
firm and solid and strong with the muscles of the nafs.
And the cares, the dental cares, the heart cares, have built up. And I can't see the world the way it is. So he tells us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is at that stage that the abd sees by Allah and hears by Allah. If you hear by Allah, what will you hear? What will you hear? As every time I hear that sound that we are so acquainted with nowadays, and so fighting in order to also legitimize it, like in our secular legal systems, we are also fighting to legitimize marijuana. Oh, in some countries it's already there, in the Netherlands, Ilari Vatican, and more of that. Do you know what I'm trying to say? What sounds do I hear? What sights do I look at? And number two, when Allah has changed my qalb, then not only what I see, but or where do I first project my eyes, but number two, how I see what I see. Do you see the difference? I see you, but how I see you, that's a different question. Have you ever thought of that? How I see you is a different question. I see a sight, I hear a sound, that's the what. How I hear it, that's all depending on that qalb. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken over that qalb after I have broken it with the shovels of mujahada, and then in thalam وَلَمْ يَبْقَ فِيهِ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْقَدَرِ ومن الإرادة أنا ذاك يصلحه الله سبحانه وتعالى ويعيده وينشئه خلقا آخر. I become those مندرسة قلوبهم لأجل الله سبحانه وتعالى. My dear brothers and sisters, so it begins where? Did you remember where we began? Of course, inshallah, you will review this. Please do, and review it again and again and again. But again, where did we begin? Na'am? Those three pronged tests. That's where it begins. Every moment of our lives, right now, in every second of our lives, is filled either by an amr, or a nahi, or a qadar. Right now, some of us are either in all these three states, or in a combination thereof, or in one of them. And every second it's like that. Take it there first. And this beautiful, beautiful Jannah that we are aspiring for in dunya before akhirah is attained after a serious, arduous, diligent, sincere journey our qulub to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at each step of the journey, we are in amr or nahi or qadar. Look at steps of our journeys to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are, each one of them is a cross section that contains, imagine, a continuum of these cross sections, and each cross section is amr, nahi, qadar. Next one. Amr, nahi, qadar. Amr, nahi, qadar. Amr, nahi, qadar. Amr, nahi, qadar. Arhamukallah. And as those cross sections continue to build up, as I comply by that, they bring me nearer to my destination. And I ultimately become a qalb. I learned something recently. At least I was reminded of it. There is a doctor here, and a doctor of children, and I'm sure you have looked at scanners a lot and at the picture of a little baby, and I don't like to do that. Is it true? I should know that, but I forgot or I don't know what happened. That in the embryonic stage of the human being, after the mitosis and all of that, what is the first thing that begins to be fashioned in the human being? The heart, isn't it? That's what I learned. Actually, subhanAllah, have you ever thought of that? I was startled. You're in the womb of your mother, in the midst of three darknesses. Inside that fluid, and the only thing that is, can you imagine? A heart. Just a heart. A heart by itself. No eyes, no brain, no ears, no legs. Just a heart beating. La ilaha illallah. Have you ever thought of that? Just a heart. La ilaha illallah. Beating.
No.
Nothing, just the heart. Just a heart. Doesn't this send a message? Your original state is a heart. A heart, just a heart. Your original state is just a heart. A state of innocence. The state of original perfection. The first creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. the first expression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the womb of the mother, is a heart. Do you see what that means?
Allah.
Your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world is a heart. Just a heart. I want to go back into the womb of my mother.
Allah.
I want to go back into the womb of my mother. I want to be a heart alone.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ مَا بِأَيِّ مِنْ آلَاءِ رَبِّنَا نُكَذِّبَانِ سبحان الله ما أغفل الإنسان ما أغفلنا ما أغفلنا ما أغفلنا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ورسولنا وقدوتنا وسيدنا وحبيبك خليلك حبيبنا محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى أزواجه وذرياته وأهله آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الصالحين الميامين اللهم إنا نسألك بحبك لهم أن ترزقنا حبك اللهم إنا نسألك بحبك لهم أن ترزقنا حبك. اللهم إنا نسألك بحبك لهم أن ترزقنا حبك. آمين آمين. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. I would like you please to come back here بإذن الله at 8:15. At 8:15, Maghrib is at around 8:45 or 8:43. I would like to all of you, let everyone know please, to be here at 8:15. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for your diligent attention and desire to learn. And may Allah forgive me my inadequacies and my inabilities to communicate His word the best that I could, and at the potential, or to the best of potentials. And remember, we gathered here, and today's ibadah bi-ibnillah, that we accept, that He accepts from us subhanahu wa ta'ala, has also to do for, alhamdulillah, collecting our spiritual focus, showing our ubudiyah, our saqa, our need and our dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that, we turn to Him in dua, inshaAllah ta'ala, for one of our brothers. We'll be back inshaAllah at 8:15. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.